Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Today, we're taking a closer look at how the coronavirus is affecting the education system in our state. Governor Pritzker announced Friday that schools will temporarily close for in-person classes beginning tomorrow in an effort to slow the speed of the virus. About 2.2 million students in Illinois will be staying home, and teachers were given the weekend to prepare virtual lessons for the next 2 weeks. Illinois colleges and universities will also postpone in-person classes and take their lectures online after the break. Ben Leroy teaches a law course at the University of Illinois. He joins us now to tell us about how he's preparing to shift his course to online for at least a few weeks. We're also joined by James Lowe. He's experienced in developing online courses. He serves as director of the College of Veterinary Medicine's iLearning Center at the University of Illinois. Ben and James, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Also on the line, Lee Gaines. She is with us. She is the education reporter for WILL's Illinois Newsroom, and she's right here in Urbana with me. However, she's staying at home. We're practicing social distancing here on the 21st. Also, Peter Medlin is with us from our partner station, WNIJ in DeKalb, where he is the education reporter. Peter and Lee, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Lee, I'll start with you. How are schools in Central Illinois preparing to go virtual? Were they given any instructions or recommendations from the State Board of Education?
So the State Board has come out and said that this forced closure of schools, these e-learning days, if you want to call them that, will not count as instructional days on the school calendar. So they haven't had to have their regional offices of education approve their e-learning plans, and that school districts have full autonomy to provide continuous learning opportunities through whatever means they see fit. That includes online. I know some schools in this area are also handing out paper packets to families. So they're basically just encouraging school districts to do whatever works best for them. And I should note that a lot of schools in the Champaign-Urbana area, this is their spring break this week. So I know that teachers and school administrators here are taking that time to figure out what to do. They're really scrambling to get together online resources and also paper packets for families to use while at home with their kids between now and March 30th. Champaign Unit 4 schools, again, they're taking this week to develop those resources. And I did speak with a superintendent in Rantoul a few weeks ago who was really concerned about getting e-learning resources to students because many of the students in that area lack internet access in their homes. So I do think that this could become a situation where students with internet access get very different learning opportunities than those without. Also, I think it's worth pointing out that these days are counted by the state as Act of God days, meaning they will not need to be made up at the end of the school year.
How is the school situation changing you? Let us know. Tweet us at 21st Show. That's our handle, at 21st Show. Peter, you spoke with a rural district that recently received their e-learning plan approved. What can you tell us about the district and what do they plan to do?
Yeah, I talked to the superintendent at Amboy, which is, you know, about 690 kids or so, and I actually talked to him on Thursday afternoon when the statewide closures didn't seem quite as imminent, which seems like a year ago now. But yeah, so they were also really concerned with internet access, and they, you know, are one-to-one. They do send Chromebooks back at home, so they were using those for, you know, Google Classroom, those types of things. But for especially for younger kids, like elementary kids, that's going to be a lot more paper-based learning packets, sending textbooks home, that sort of thing. And I haven't talked to him since then, but I know that the State Board is right now is recommending that with schools that do use those take-home packets that kind of make those available at the same locations that they're doing meal drop-offs and things like that.
I understand this district that you covered, it's huge.
Yes. Yeah. He said that it's a lot of square miles. It's rural, so it's a really, really wide space. So internet access can be a little bit spotty. People can have satellite internets, or he said that there's a lot of situations where people, you know, not a lot, but there are situations where people say that they have internet access, but what they really mean is they have a cell phone plan. So it can be definitely spotty.
Ben Leroy, you teach law at the University of Illinois. I want to bring you into the conversation. The U of I announced last week that classes after spring break would be virtual. What did you hear from students? I understand you were in class with them when the official email came.
I was in class. So I teach my current class, land use planning, on Wednesday evenings, and I began my class with a discussion of the fact that we would likely be moving online. And so I was fortunate to have the opportunity to speak in person with my class about what online platforms they have had good experiences or bad experiences with, because we're not being tracked into a particular online platform. It's up to the instructor to choose, you know, what streaming service we use. I also got a chance to talk with my students about what sort of format they would like to see, because we have a very discussion-oriented class. I teach 17 students, and we have a great dialogue that helps us all learn together. And I know that that's going to be impossible to perfectly replicate, and so we wanted to discuss some strategies together. The announcement came in the middle of class, and one of my students said, "Oh, we just got an email from the university," and I'll say, you know, we are optimistic that we're going to do well together, but I think not just myself, but most of my students really value that in-class learning experience, and so I think there's definitely trepidation, you know, concern, but optimism and a sense of, you know, we'll all get through it together.
James Lowe, you are director of the Veterinary College's iLearning Center. If someone is shifting a course that is normally in person to online, what are some things they should keep in mind?
Yeah, I think the challenge is, right, and we're obviously all in a time crunch and going to do some things that are probably a bit crazy here over the next few weeks. But from a methods or pedagogy standpoint, online is really different than in class. And obviously, as an instructor, I can't see my students. I can't interact. I don't get immediate feedback as to if do they understand what I'm saying? Do they not? So you have to develop some other tools to create that assessment. And that can be really powerful. It can be really good. As we think about online delivery or online course development, you know, we've kind of gotten stuck in this 50-minute mode of life and education, right? We lecture for 50 minutes, and even in right in grade school and high school, right, we teach for some period of time, then we leave. And that certainly is not really, we don't have to conform to that in online, and that becomes critical. So we think about how do we build shorter lectures that are really kind of key topics? So maybe 50 minutes is two or three 8 to 10 minute lectures with focusing on the big points. How do I create a structure for them as learners to think about the material I'm trying to teach them? And then how do I provide the supplemental materials around that for them to go get details? So instead of me standing in front of a room and being the all-knowing educator and spewing all the facts, I'm now trying to give them a framework and a short bit and one idea at a time in a lecture, and then give them supplemental materials to learn that, and then build some assessment back around that time so that there's some short-term feedback. Did they understand the material? Do I know they did it? Do I know what they've learned and what they haven't learned? And it's that bit in the analytics on the back end that are really, really powerful from an online education standpoint. But that material takes time to develop. So certainly we're going to do some things that are pedagogically or methods right, probably not right in the short term, but we certainly hope that this is a boon for all of us to really learn how to innovate a bit better and how do we teach differently and more effectively.
We're talking about schools going online in the wake of the coronavirus spreading across Illinois. I want to read a Twitter comment that the 21st received. Nikki teaches at Southwestern Illinois College. She says, quote, "I use tech in the classroom and believe students will know how to use it outside of the classroom. But I am concerned about their access from home and their ability to commit to assignments with everything else that is going on while class feels less tangible." End quote. Ben, what are you concerned? Are you also concerned about that?
Yeah, you know, I have my own personal concerns about my teaching, and then I have concerns about my students being able to engage with the class. I think to start with the students, I absolutely relate to the concern about students, A, just having the mental capacity to focus on class, given that they might be worried about their own health, the health of their family, what are other logistical issues they're running into. So I recognize that class may take a backseat to some of those more essential things. I also, when I discussed in my in person with my students, several of them raised concerns about their ability to find a consistent space at our normal meeting time, especially because some of them are going home to other time zones where they have consistent Wi-Fi, a consistently quiet space, et cetera. So I will be recording the lectures, but we'll have, you know, fewer in-person, you know, people in class while during the live broadcast. And then personally, you know, I, of course, have my own concerns. I've got I'm concerned about my parents. I'm concerned about my infant daughter, my wife, you know, all my friends, figuring out how to run my household. And then also, you know, having to – I've never taught online before. I've taught both undergrads and graduates. I've taught in the College of Law. I've taught in the Department of Urban and Regional Planning. But I've never taught online. And so I recognize that probably for the rest of the semester, this is going to be more of a workload than just delivering my standard lectures, because I recognize that not only do I need to shift online in this first week after break, but I'll probably need to continue to make shifts as I feel out what am I doing right, what am I doing wrong. So it's going to be a challenge for the rest of the semester, absolutely.
Lee, we've been talking about colleges. Let's go all the way back to younger people. We know that daycares will remain open, but I imagine a lot of parents could be concerned that they can't stay home with their kids if their jobs don't allow them to work remotely. Are there options for them offered through school districts?
Yeah, this is a big question that I have. I'm really interested to see how this will play out. But I will say in the statement that that's the Illinois State Board of Education released last Friday after the governor made his announcement about K-12 schools. That statement said that they were asking at least one administrator of these schools to stay on site during the regular hours of the school day during this mandated closure period in case children whose parents cannot be home or children experiencing homelessness need a safe place to go. They're also encouraging that teachers and administrators exercise social distancing in all situations and that they conduct outreach to families concerning students who may be at an elevated risk due to the statewide school closures. So this is not, you know, like, I'm really curious how this is actually going to play out in practice. I'm wondering how schools will handle this, and I'm also wondering, you know, how parents will even be aware that this is an option for them.
James, what are some of the downsides to virtual learning that you're concerned about?
Well, I can't even imagine trying to teach second graders with virtual learning. So, right, there's some maturity level and the ability to concentrate and focus. And I think we talked about this, right? How do we restructure the day for the student, because we kind of force them into a schedule now. And one of the things with online is, right, there's less schedule. You can do whatever you want in many respects, because I don't know if you turned up to class or not, or there's less forcing people to turn up to class. So I think that's a real concern. I think the other concern is that online is really good at, and we talk about educating, we think about Bloom's taxonomy, and the bottom of that would be remember and maybe apply a little bit. But the top of that is how do I create new knowledge, or how do I really do the thing? So Ben in the law school, us here with graduate students, right, we're trying to teach at the top of Bloom's taxonomy and not at the bottom of just, hey, here's some facts and remember them. And online is really, really good at the bottom end of Bloom's taxonomy, the remember. It's not as good at the top because it's got less interaction. And so the creative things, the skill things, learning how to argue as a lawyer, learning how to do surgery as a doctor, those things don't work on online. So we certainly have got a scope. It's not great for everything. But certainly for kind of the mass education thing, the foundational stuff, online is great. And then finally, I can't emphasize enough, particularly as we're thinking about rural school districts, people living in rural areas, rural connectivity and even sometimes connectivity in some of the city areas just isn't as good as what it needs to be yet to let us really leverage the online space. And so we do a lot of work with farmers and with in rural communities. And, you know, the connectivity there is not good. And so I think those are some of the other barriers, right? We think about, sure, if I live in the city of Chicago, I probably have got good access to good internet, and we do here in town. But, well, you get outside of town, you get outside of, you know, I live in Mahomet, west of Champaign here. We're great, but our neighbors and other faculty I know that live 3 or 4 miles from us are just in spots where the internet is just as terrible. So we've still got some gaps. We've got to close some of those things as well.
Peter, we've got about a minute left. I know you're in the northern area, and there are just some huge rural school districts, some larger than cities like Philadelphia or Denver in square mileage. What do you know of any resources to help, or what are school districts recommending for those areas with, you know, lack of reliable internet?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, what we're talking about, is they're going to have to rely a lot on those paper and pencil learning packets. And I think I just talked to a regional superintendent for Kane County, and that's even less rural, but they were talking about how there are some districts that aren't one-to-one that are going to have to focus more on that too. And so, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, it's going to be a lot that, but luckily they've had some time. A lot of these districts have had a little bit more time to think about how they want to have these e-learning since it about a year they've been thinking about planning what these are actually going to look like. So they've had some time to maybe make it, tailor it, or make sure it's able to be, for some students that have special needs, try to accommodate for people that have IEPs. I know some school districts now, you know, trying to do IEP meetings over the phone and things like that. So hopefully they've had, some schools have had time to take some time, look at these e-learning plans, and make sure they can accommodate as much people as possible, even with less internet access.
And one resource we know we have is PBS, and your local PBS stations. You may want to try pbs.org/parents for a lot of resources for at-home education. Well, that's all the time we have for this segment, and we were talking with education reporter Lee Gaines from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, also Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ in DeKalb. We'd also like to thank Ben Leroy, who teaches law at the University of Illinois, and James Lowe, director of the iLearning Center at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up after the break, we'll revisit our conversation about the benefits of later school start times with a sleep specialist and an Illinois superintendent. I'm Reginald Hardwick. This is The 21st.